This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
All right, everybody, welcome to the People Speak Radio Show. Again, this is your host, your fill-in host, Charles Giuliani, and a very important guest on a very important day, as it turns out. Here we are on the 11th anniversary of 9/11, and what better guest to have than Mr. Jesse Ventura. Welcome, Jesse.
Hi, Charles. How are you today?
Not bad, considering the kind of world we're living in.
Well, there's not much we can do about it immediately.
You got to fight to keep your sanity in an insane world, but so far I'm holding out.
Well, that's good to hear.
Well, you've done a lot of work, written a lot of books exposing conspiracies, and so how appropriate to have you on the show today, looking back 11 years of one conspiracy after another, starting with 9/11, the trashing of our rights, the degradation of our economy, not only because of phony wars we fought since 9/11, but of course the bailout thing, which I think 9/11 has, you know, had helped to set the stage for. So many things have happened since then. It's not a better world, is it?
No, it's not. You know, ever since 9/11, really the world of the United States and its people has drastically changed. Prior to 9/11, you know, you always lived with the aspect that, well, tomorrow will be a better day. And this is about the first time in my lifetime where I now make the statement, tomorrow might not be a better day. And that's the first time I've ever had that type of thought process in the United States of America.
The one good thing about it is I think a lot of people are smelling a rat here. I mean, you would think with the capture of Bin Laden, nod, nod, wink, wink, you know, with what they want us to believe anyway, a successful war on terrorism. I mean, the Iraq war is supposedly over. The Afghan war seems to be running down. They claim that Al-Qaeda has been almost essentially vanquished worldwide. But yet everything is far more topsy-turvy than it ever was before 9/11. Shouldn't things be getting better if we went by their rhetoric?
Yeah, you'd think that we should be, but, you know, a lot of the things that they've told us haven't been true from the beginning, you know.
Yeah, and
So you'd think it would be better, but yet the things they implemented across the country because of 9/11 are actually getting worse and worse. You know, we're under more surveillance than we've ever been under in our life. We're now facing the fact that they're going to fly drones, unmanned drones around our country to put us under more surveillance. You know, they infiltrate and totally defy the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution of reasonable search and seizure, and other of the Bill of Rights seem to be trashed, all as a result of 9/11. And you'd think that, and even habeas corpus was suspended because of 9/11, and here it is 11 years later, and it hasn't even been reinstated yet. You know, they can still arrest you in this country and hold you without a trial and without letting you see an attorney. And those things are still out there on the books, and apparently they're not about to go away unless we were to get some type of new president or break away from the Democrats and the Republicans who run this country.
Or, as your new book title tells us, Democrips and Rebloodlicans.
I used that term. I don't know where I heard that, but it was back when I think I was governor of Minnesota. Somebody mentioned that to me and referred to them as the Democrips and the Rebloodlicans. And being an independent like I am, I kind of like the sound of that. And then as more time has gone on and I've watched them in operation, they truly are like the Crips and the Bloods, even to the point they've even stolen the street gang's color code. Because if you look now, a Democratic state or a Democrat state, as I like to call it, the Crips colors are blue. Well, what's a blue state? That's a Democratic state. And naturally, the blood gang, the street gang, the Bloods, their color is red. Well, what's a red state? Well, that's a Republican or a Republican red state. So they've even stole the gang's colors. As the book points out, these two parties have a complete gang mentality, because if you're a member of them, your allegiance has to be to the gang first, and then it goes to the how the gang makes money second. And so we, the people, might be third or fourth at best.
If we're even on the list.
Yeah, if we're even on it, you're right.
How many decades have gone by, and it's been the same thing, election after election? How many people voted for Obama, and they thought, this time, and nothing has changed? Well, yeah, things have changed. Things have gotten worse. Our economy is, you didn't think it could get worse than under Bush, but it has. More people.
Well, it hasn't. I wouldn't say that it's necessarily worse. I would just say the recovery hasn't been anything. I wouldn't say it's worse, but I certainly wouldn't say it's much better.
Yeah, and again, when you look at the prices.
Let me state this. Before the 2008 election, I turned to my wife and I said, I wouldn't want to be the next president for anything, because whoever comes in 2008 is going to get blamed for everything Bush did.
Oh, yeah.
And that's precisely what's happened. Now, I'm not letting Obama off the hook, because he's actually done some things in light of prosecuting whistleblowers and raiding medical marijuana places around the country. He's even been worse than Bush in certain aspects. And then, of course, in some things, he's been a little bit better. But, everyone thought, when Barack Obama ran, he ran on change we can believe in. Well, one of my chapters where I expose that change, we title it Spare Change You Can Believe In.
Yeah, right. Well, one thing's for sure. I mean, there have been, massive job losses that have continued. There's been, mortgage foreclosures that have still gone on. The economy shows no sign of turning around. We're still seeing Wall Street walk away with fat wads of cash. There's whispers in the wind of another war coming up with either Iran or Syria, or maybe they're going to wait for the next until after the election, of course. It's not going to be
good. Oh, yeah. Nothing will happen until after the election. If we get another war, rest assured, it'll be after the election before they wouldn't dare do it before the election. But certainly after the election, that prospect is very high. Yeah, nothing like that has changed, and all the things Obama ran on, where he said he would close Gitmo. Well, Gitmo's still there. He refused to prosecute the torture people, the people that, should have gone to prison for torturing in Iraq and all that stuff. And it's really disgraced our country all the way from Bush, and it still has,
But he did,
I live outside the country now, to kill Bin Laden lookalike number 17. Looking at from the outside is much different than the inside.
Yeah. He did manage to kill Bin Laden lookalike number 17, though.
Well, I guess he did. I don't know. They tell us they did. But, again, my view is this government has lied to me so often in the last decade, especially, that nothing they say to me is concrete anymore. I don't believe a thing they say anymore.
I love that coincidence, nod, nod, wink, wink, how that team, the SEAL team helicopter just happened to crash shortly after this alleged killing of Bin Laden. Dead men tell no tales.
Well, although there's a guy now I heard that's wrote some book about it that was actually there, and he's under a lot of scrutiny now.
I heard about that.
This guy claims to have been the one that pulled the trigger. And now, of course, he's falling under national security, and what can he say and what can't he say? Again, I don't question what went on the ground, because I wasn't there. And unless I was there, you wouldn't know. But it does seem very strange that most doctors say that whatever that disease Bin Laden had, where he needed the what's that machine he always had to have?
Yeah, dialysis.
dialysis. I couldn't think of it right away. That he needed a dialysis machine on a regular basis. They said that the disease he had is usually fatal within 2 years. It's pretty remarkable that this guy allegedly could be running around the hills of Afghanistan in need of dialysis on a constant basis. And they said that normally people die within 2 years. How did this guy make it nearly 10?
Well, I don't know if you remember this, but the New York Times, the LA Times, a few other major papers around the country, even Fox News, actually reported in early December of 2001 that bin Laden died in the mountains of Tora Bora. And then within a few weeks after that, later in December of 2001, was when the first tape was released wherein bin Laden, quote unquote, is now claiming responsibility for 9/11. But this bin Laden has a short, stubby nose, whereas the previous one who died had a long, slender nose.
The only thing about the Tora Bora thing that I don't believe is because you need to read the book Kill Bin Laden by Colonel Dalton Fury, I think his name was.
Yeah.
Because what disturbed me about that book, when they had bin Laden pinned down at Tora Bora, and this is right in his book, he said that there was only one way out through the mountains into Pakistan, and he wanted to place the elite Delta Force on the other side of that mountain pass so that when bin Laden did attempt to escape, he would walk right into an ambush.
Yeah.
By the Delta Force, which is a logical thing to do. It's an on-the-ground call by certainly a qualified commander of our military. And in his book, he said he went right into the Oval Office and that Bush and Cheney wouldn't allow him to do it. So in essence, they gave bin Laden an escape route, which he used, apparently, because they would not allow the Delta Force to set up an ambush through this mountain pass, and that was the escape route allegedly bin Laden got out in. And so whether he died at Tora Bora or not, I don't know. According to Dalton Fury, he did not. And he was an on-the-ground operator that was there.
I think that was bin Laden lookalike number 14 we're talking about.
Maybe.
It's such a mess. And let's not forget, the FBI actually never listed 9/11 as one of the crimes bin Laden was wanted for. Did you know that? They never.
Oh, yeah, I knew that because my TV show, we inquired into that.
Oh,
we
sure,
wanted to
right.
know why on their website, if you went to terrorists and pulled up bin Laden, it talked about him, hitting the embassies. It talked about him blowing up the USS Cole, but not one word about being in 9/11. And off the record, the FBI spokesman told us it's because they didn't have enough evidence.
Crazy.
Off the record, of course.
Did you catch that FBI spokesperson, too? This was back in June of 2006. FBI spokesperson was at, in Ithaca there. Carl Sagan used to teach there. I can't think of the name of the university now. Cornell. He was giving a talk there, and one of the students at the end asked him, sir, how come you don't have bin Laden listed as being responsible for 9/11, on your website? And he says, we don't list 9/11 because we don't have any hard evidence to connect him with that crime. That was in June of 2006.
Yeah, exactly. There is no hard evidence. All they did was, remember this, people need to be clear on this. When the government comes out and with the official story, which they do on everything that happens, the official story, well, always remember the official story is just what it says. It's there to protect officials.
Yeah.
It's the official story. In other words, it's the story the officials are giving you. It doesn't necessarily mean it's true. It just means this is the official story, which is done generally to protect officials. And from that point on, you're not allowed to ask any questions about the official story. You're not allowed to expect any more answers out of the official story other than what the official story is. Like if you ask our government anything about 9/11, they will refer you to the 9/11 Commission.
Yeah,
which of course we all know answered nothing. You know, they didn't connect the dots on anything hardly.
It makes good kindling in the wintertime, though.
What's that?
It makes good kindling in the wintertime for your good burning stove.
But you know, and that's what people need to understand, the same way as when John Kennedy was killed. You had the Warren Commission.
Sure.
Well, that became the government's official story. And so no matter what evidence comes out later, no matter what witnesses come out later, the government just simply turns its back. They have their official story, and that's how they move on. The other thing to always remember, too, is whenever there's a new president and someone new gets in charge, always note that they always state it's time to move forward. Well, what they're telling you there is we're not going to look at anything in the past. We're not going to investigate anything, whether something was corrupt or somebody did something. We're not going to bother with it. And that's what you always see whenever there's a new president. It's time to move forward. That's kind of an unwritten law between administrations so that one administration doesn't prosecute the one that comes before them. It's simply off limits.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, boy. Well, let's see. We've got some questions coming in here via text anyway. Do you want to take some questions? Or?
Sure, if they want to. And then, you know, I'd love to talk more about the book at some point.
Yeah, actually, before we do that, I wanted to ask you about you got some book signing engagements coming up, too, don't you?
I'm sorry. I got the air conditioner blowing loud here. What did you say?
Oh, yeah, you got some book signing appointments booked around the country coming up.
Well, mostly in New York. I'm here in New York all week, so I'll be doing book signings. Let me look here. What have I got? I'll be at the Barnes & Noble book signing on 395 Route 3 in Clifton, New Jersey. I'll be there tomorrow night. And then I've got book signing at the Hudson Union Society, book signing at the Hotel 53rd Street and 6th Avenue. On the day after that, which is on Thursday, I believe, and then on Friday and or Saturday, I've got a lot of them. Saturday, I'll have a book signing at Bookends in Ridgewood, New Jersey, and then Sunday, I've got two of them: a book signing at the Barnes and Noble over in Basking Ridge, New Jersey, at 2 p.m, and then the Barnes and Noble at 7 p.m. in Fresh Meadows, New York. So I'll be getting around here in the New York and the New Jersey general area to about 5 or 6 book signings in the next week.
Excellent. So, yeah, before we go to some of these callers, why don't you outline for us briefly, you know, the gist of your book, Democrips and...
The book is really the key to the book. Of course, it's called Democrips and Republicans, but the key word is the bottom, the subtitle, No More Gangs in Government. I used to be, I think Eleanor Cliff, when I was teaching at Harvard, called me the high priest of the third party movement, which was kind of an honor. I kind of liked that title she put on me when I was there. But I've changed my position today. I do not support the third party movement. Because in order for a third party to be viable in this country, they would have to sell their soul and become just as bad as the two of them that we have. I've come to realize that. So we've already got a two-headed monster. Why would we need a three-headed one? So what I'm advocating now and what I advocate in this book, Democrips and Republicans, is the abolishment of all political parties. We need to get rid of them. And if you go to Chapter 2 in the book, you'll learn that I have some pretty good allies who stand with me on this. Probably first and foremost, who was very vocal about it, was George Washington, the father of our country and our first president. He was vehemently opposed to political parties and what they would do, as well as John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. So three of the very founders of our country, our forefathers, all warned us what would happen if political parties took control of our government, and they must have known what they were talking about because it's come to be true. You know, the political parties have taken over our government now, and you see the shape that our government's in today. It's awful. I show you how the entire system is based upon the concept of bribery. You know, if we in the private sector bribe someone, we go to jail. But our entire political system is based upon that concept. The only people that get audience with our congressmen or senators is you better show up with a big check in your hand. Because if you ain't got that, they ain't going to listen to you.
They got that tidy name for it, lobbying, but it's bribery is what it is. That's all
it is. It's total bribery. in the private sector or anywhere in this country, if you behaved and ran something in that manner, you would go to jail for bribery.
Yep. That's how our government runs today, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep. Who has the biggest check? On the basis of bribery.
Yeah. Incredible. So, anybody hasn't checked out his book yet, definitely want to pick that up if you can't make it to any of the
book signings.
Well,
let me put it to you this way. Anyone that reads this book, and I challenge any Democrats or Republicans who are out there, read this book, and if you still vote for a Democrat or Republican, then you're the problem. You're not the solution.
Don't you love it?
That's precisely it. The problem is our media and everybody forces us, basically, psychologically, to vote for these two parties. I urge everyone, join me. I'm voting for Governor Gary Johnson, the former governor of New Mexico, who's running under the libertarian banner. He will get my vote. And many people tell you if you vote for a third-party candidate, you're wasting your vote. I'd like to reverse that and state that if you vote for a Democrat or Republican, you're wasting your vote. You're going to get the same bribery-filled government that you've always gotten. Nothing will change. So you waste your vote if you vote for a Democrat or Republican.
Absolutely. They're already bought and paid for. That's the bottom line. The two major candidates.
They're worse than bought and paid for.
Yeah, sold out completely. Anyway, do you want to go take some callers? We're going to cut to a break here in a few minutes. but we'd love to. I said callers. I meant to say questions that are coming in via text. First, we got here Jim in Los Angeles. He says, Jesse, would you please run with Ron Paul as a third party? That's kind of what we just been talking about. Third party.
Well, you know, it's. I would love to. I really would. But the problem is Congressman Paul won't leave the Republican Party and run as an independent. He's still attached to the Republican Party. He did not get their nomination. So apparently, I will assume that we won't hear from Congressman Paul too much anymore. I don't know. He's already 70-some years old, and he said this was his last shot at it. So until I hear different, I would assume that Congressman Paul is going into retirement now. It's unfortunate because, in my opinion, out of all the candidates out there other than Gary Johnson of the Libertarian Party, Ron Paul was the only choice that I could ever possibly make, and he's not going to do it. And as far as if he would quit the Republican Party and run as an independent, I would give serious consideration to running with him.
Yeah. I mean, who else has ever even addressed the Federal Reserve, let alone called for auditing and or abolishing the thing?
Oh, yeah. And mainstream media just ridicules Ron Paul for that. The best thing I liked was when Ron Paul, when they talked about when we got into that horrible Iraq war, and everybody had the attitude, well, we're in there now, we've got to see it through. I loved what Ron Paul said. They all said, well, we can't leave now. Well, Ron Paul said it great. He said, we marched in. All we have to do is turn around and march out.
Yeah.
It's that
anyway,
simple.
We actually do have a toll-free line if anybody actually wanted to call in. Right now I have a bunch of questions coming in via text, but if anybody did want to call in and talk to Jesse Ventura, you only need call 888-429-5471. Again, that's 888-429-5471. He'll be on for the next half hour. You can also, in the U.S. and Canada, you can dial 530-413-9537. Okay, let's go to another.
Let me state this first before we move on. I'll tell you what it will take to get me to run for president. I'll tell you right now, and I'm going to do it on all my press things while I'm here this week. It'll take two things to make me seriously consider it. Number one would require a grassroots movement through all 50 states of somebody in all of those states, all 50 of them, to get me ballot access in their state. Because, as you know, the Democrats and Republicans make you jump through hoops in every state, and it's all different. And they do that on purpose so that they never have to face a third opponent. It would require me to get ballot access in all 50 states, and then I would have to have a rock-solid guarantee that I would be included in the debates. Because you cannot win elected office unless you're allowed to debate them. And my attitude is simple. If I can debate them, I can beat them. Because in Minnesota, when I ran for governor at the primary, I was only polling 10%, but I was allowed in the debates. There were 3, 4, 5, or 6 of them. I don't even remember how many anymore. But in 7 weeks, I went from 10% to winning the election because I was allowed to debate. Those are the two things I'd need fulfilled. I won't raise money. I won't raise the dirty money to get ballot access. It would have to be a grassroots thing done in all 50 states.
Yeah. And you'd have to be able to raise any issue that you wanted to, of course, as well, because they usually have that whole thing rigged. In fact, it's all scripted. They have they're told ahead of time what issues are going to be raised.
The debate, they're a joke.
Yeah.
For people that don't know, you're exactly right. These candidates get the questions a week ahead of time so that all their people can put all their spin on it.
Yeah.
They know what they're going to be asked. Let's have a true debate where the candidates get up and they don't know what they're going to be asked.
Right. Right. Unbelievable.
It's election theater is what you get in the United States of America now. It's election theater, nothing more. The two conventions are nothing but theater. Like I was asked by, I'm going on Joey Behar's show, and they called me ahead of time and they asked me if I watched the two conventions. And I said, absolutely not. I said, I don't need to watch them for 3 hours lie to me.
What do I
need that for?
It's actually sickening.
What's that?
It's sickening to watch it. I couldn't take more than 5 minutes.
Oh, I know. I didn't watch 1 minute of either convention. For what? All they're going to do is get up and tell me what they think I want to hear. They're going to make a bunch of grandiose promises that none of them are going to keep. And it's just 3 hours of unadulterated lying. And isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? If we lie to the government, we go to jail. But they lie to us all the time. And what happens? Generally, we go to war.
After 5 minutes of watching, I think it was a Republican convention, the first thing that came to my mind is, I hope that they're hitting a fake applaud button. I hope that people really aren't applauding these bozos, but unfortunately they were.
Well, they were because they're all part of the gang. You don't get in that building unless you're a dues-paying gang member. It would be no different than Sonny Barger standing up at a run of the Hell's Angels and giving a speech. Mm-hmm. Well, of course Sonny's going to get applauded for everything he says. He's the head man or had been for years of the Hell's Angels.
I'm sure you remember when Bush used to go around giving talks. it was all like, you know, big corporate CEO bigwigs, you know, and they would tell them, okay, take off your ties so you look like blue-collar workers. These people are all, you know, 6-7-figure income tycoons.
Oh, yeah. Both conventions are a complete scam. If you go to them and you take note, you'll see the same lobbyists at both conventions.
Yeah.
So they're all getting their corporate money. They're all getting boatloads and suitcases full of money. And both sides have been paid off. That's why I make the statement, it does not matter.
No.
Which, if you elect a Democrat or Republican, because they're both beholding to the corporations now, and you know that the basic definition of fascism is when corporations take over the government, I think Mussolini would be proud of us right now.
Yeah, we've come full circle. We get another question here, and then after this we'll go to our break coming up in just a couple minutes here. Clifford in Houston asks, why do you endorse Judy Wood after a caller on Coast to Coast AM radio suggested you read her work when 9/11 Truth itself doesn't want anything to do with her theories?
Well, for one thing, I'm not part of 9/11 Truth.
Yeah.
I've never joined them. I belong to no organization.
I simply
do my own independent investigating, and I will state this. Does anyone know for sure what happened that day? No, we don't. So you have to look. You have to look at all alternatives, and I challenge anyone to read Dr. Wood's book. She's a physicist from Virginia Tech University, and it cost her her job when she wrote that book. And this woman is highly qualified in physics and in the whole spiel of what the investigation should have been about. And you can't close the door on any scenario. The only one I believe you can close the door on is the government's official story.
Yeah.
Jesse, because that one defies the basic laws of physics.
We need to keep an open mind to all possibilities.
You can't politicize the laws of physics. They are what they are.
Right.
And so anyone, whether 9/11 truthers don't like it or not, that's too bad for them. They're also being very closed-minded because only the perpetrators know what really happened. None of us can unequivocally answer that unless we're a member of the perpetrators.
I tell you what, we got to cut to a break. Yeah, I could not agree with you more. We're going to cut to a short break. When we come back, we got a caller waiting on the line. We'll go to her. So stick with us, folks. We'll be right back.
We teach them how to tie their shoes. They teach us how to live our lives. We teach them long division. They teach us how to bank online. Our children will always outgrow us. But for the first time in generations, they may not outlive us. Over the last 25 years, the percent of overweight children aged 6 to 11 has doubled. The percent of overweight teenagers tripled. Obesity kills. Heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, all are linked to obesity, a problem that could be greatly reduced just by having a place to exercise. Right now, people are working hard to put parks and playgrounds where children live, where children will use them. Finding out how you can help is as easy as tying your shoes. Log on to earthshare.org now. A public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please, give to the world for the broken.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. Thousands of sick and dying patients find marijuana effective as a medicine, including cancer, MS, and AIDS patients. 9 states have legalized its use. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. We've got a caller on the line here, Kerry in Columbia, Maryland. So we'll go to, it turns out it's a he, not a she. We'll go to his call at this time. Welcome to the show, Kerry. Are you there,
hello?
Kerry? Yeah, hello, you're on the air.
I'm here, can you hear me?
Yep, loud and clear.
Hey, well, great, thank you for allowing me to ask a question. Jesse, I'm curious to know what your opinion is on if there is an Israeli connection to 9/11. If not, what is your opinion on Israel's influence on United States foreign policy? Thank you. I'll listen offline.
Okay. First of all, I don't know if there was an Israeli involvement in 9/11. I've heard rumor to it. I've read a few things there may have been that, you know, it was a way for them to get us to invade these countries and to go to war like we did. But I don't think it required Israel to do that. I think George Bush and Dick Cheney already had it in mind. I don't think it required the Israelis to push them at all. So I'm not really sure. And what was the second half of the question? Oh, Israel has tremendous influence on our foreign policy.
Sure.
Tremendous influence on it. We subsidize Israel to the tune of, I think, $3 or $4 billion a year that we send over to them, and then we also subsidize the very people who oppose Israel. So we're playing both sides of the street there. We're giving money to the Israelis, and then we're giving money to the people who don't like them. You know, the Arab countries, too. So that's where I stand with Ron Paul on why we should cut out all foreign aid. First of all, we should cut it all out because we're so damn far in debt. How the hell can we give aid to anybody?
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. That's like you're losing your house due to a bad mortgage, and your Uncle John from 500 miles away calls you up and asks to borrow $500, and you send it to him.
I got to say this.
How the hell can you do that when you can't even pay your own mortgage?
I hear you.
We should cut out all foreign aid. Foreign aid is nothing more than our country bribing other countries.
Sure.
You see, it's all part of this bribe system that our elections are all based upon. Bribery is alive and well when it comes to complete government of the United States of America, be it elections as well as foreign aid. And if I could jump back, since I've answered those two questions now, you know, the person that called wanted to know about how do I believe Dr. Judy Wood in the book she wrote?
Yeah.
I won't believe her when somebody can answer one thing for me, and that is this. How were 1,400 cars toasted and burned on the streets of Manhattan when they were as far as 5 to 6 blocks away from the World Trade Center?
Sure. There were cars that
when
were
someone can explain
over.
That simple thing to me,
cars
well, then I will then disregard
over.
Judy Wood.
Not
but
only
no
that,
one can do that.
There were cars
no one
with...
can tell me how these cars as far away as the FDR were burned, and only the metal burned, not the seats, not the upholstery, just the metal.
The paint was stripped clean off of it, down to bare metal. The rubber disappeared. You could see the steel belt remaining, you know, but the rubber completely vaporized. It didn't melt and drip. It didn't exist. It was gone. It vaporized into the air.
Well, and until someone can explain the toasted cars to me, which the 9/11 Commission didn't even address, neither did right. they address Building 7 at all, the yeah. third building that went down, when they can explain how cars as far as 6 blocks away from the World Trade Center exploded into flames.
Yeah.
Well, then I'll disregard Dr. Judy Wood. But until the 9/11 truthers can explain that to me, then don't tell me what to believe or not to believe.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Jesse. I wanted to get back to the caller. And by the way, I recognized his voice later. I know Kerry from Maryland. Kerry, drop me an email sometime. Man, it was nice to hear you. I haven't talked to you in a long time. But anyway, I wanted to add something to what Kerry said or comment to your response to Kerry's question. It's true what you said. We fund Israel. We also fund Israel's enemies. But, you know, actually, Jesse, Israel funds its own enemies, too. Israel has been funding Hamas. Its own papers, Haaretz and Jerusalem Post, have brought that out. But the fact is, Israel's enemies don't run major lobby groups in Washington. Israel does. You know, the largest group in Washington that has the most influence on our politicians and hands out the biggest checks is AIPAC. The American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee. So, you know, when we fund Israel, it's to benefit Israel. When we fund Israel's enemies, it's also to benefit Israel, too. Israel wants that as, an excuse to start a war, to get us to invade a country for it. You know, who benefited from our invasion of Iraq? Israel, not us. Who benefited from the takedown of Libya last year, Gaddafi. Israel benefited. Israel wanted that war. Israel wants us at war with Iran and Syria. You know, they're the ones that have been pushing for this. But anyway.
Yep, no, I can't add anything to that. You're speaking is factual.
It's terrible. It's terrible. Anyway, let's go to, I guess we got another caller, and then we got some other questions via text here coming in, but let's go to, I hope he's still waiting on the line. We got someone from the Pal Talk chat room listening in who has a question. Are you there, Pal Talk caller?
Yes, I am. Jesse, thanks for doing this interview. I have a question for you. What is it going to take for you to bring up the best evidence of 9/11 next time you're on CNN or MSNBC?
Well, you know, I'll be on them all this week pushing the book, but I doubt if 9/11 will rear its head. You know, I don't know if it will or not. You know, it's a difficult thing to talk about because Americans are so closed-minded about it. You know, they fall victim to the official story. And once the government gives them the official story, they act like the government would never deceive or lie to them. And one of the things that caused me to really doubt my government was in 2004, I was teaching at Harvard. And that's when, the old Secretary of State, McNamara, came through right before he died and admitted that the Gulf of Tonkin incident never happened. That was the incident that put us into the Vietnam War, where 58,000 of my generation were killed. And when I heard that, it just blew me away that you can't trust a thing that our government says to us today. You have to do your own independent studies. You have to look up and find out on your own whether the government's telling you the truth, or are they simply spin doctoring and giving you an official story because of their involvement or because they don't want you to know the truth, whatever it might be.
Absolutely.
Why do you think so many representatives and senators are so hesitant to take on the topic? I know Cynthia McKinney took on the topic at one point. Ron Paul had a lot of supporters in the movement, but he has since not
dealing with 9/11?
Much. Yes.
Well, because if you even bring it up, the media is going to destroy you, like they try to destroy my credibility now because I question it. Anyone that you got to remember, the media, the mainstream media is part of this. They all fall under the corporatism that's taken over our country. The same corporations own the media.
Absolutely.
And so therefore, if you do something that goes out of line with their mainstream, well, then they may not physically try to destroy you, but they will attempt to destroy your credibility, which
Absolutely.
Is what they've attempted to do with me now. Because I question 9/11, because I do my own independent investigating of it, I'm now a crazy guy. I'm now off the deep end, because why would I go against the official story of our government?
Right. I tell you what, let's go to our next, thanks, Pell Talk caller. Let's go to Eddie from Las Vegas. Are you there, Ed?
Yes, I am. I also go by Maniac331. I'm in the chat room. And Mr. Jesse Ventura, I want you to know that I've been a fan of yours for many years. And I also want you to know that I honestly don't believe that our vote really has any bearing, that the Trilateral Commission, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, and the major bankers who are the ones that put our presidents in, not our votes. They want us to vote to make us feel good.
Did you have any question for
I can say this to you. You're probably correct when it comes to Democrats and Republicans because they own them. But remember, there's always a ray of hope out there. I won the governorship of Minnesota. I defeated the Democrats and Republicans, and they don't like to talk about what I did because I'll tell you all, I only raised $300,000 to become the governor of Minnesota. I actually made more money serving as the governor of Minnesota than I spent to get the job. And I don't think there's any elected official in the last 50 years that can make that statement.
Eddie, did you have a question for Jesse?
I think a lot of what brought on 9/11 is because they wanted to scare the American people into giving up their liberties and rights.
Sure. That was one of the agendas.
No,
sure.
I agree. That it served that purpose. I believe that we better watch out right now because we're in a lot. I mean, when that bill passed that John McCain and Carl Levin sponsored on the defense bill that now allows the military to operate inside our country, that's treason, in my opinion, because that goes against the Constitution. Our military is not supposed to be used against American citizens, but now this latest bill that Obama signed, this defense bill with McCain and Levin, Democrat and Republican sponsoring it, it turns the U.S. military loose inside our country. The U.S. military can now arrest you and hold you indefinitely without an attorney or a trial. And they can do that to American citizens thanks to this latest bill. So I think that you have to look at the big picture. There's clearly some type of lockdown going on. And let me give an unashamable promotion here. Many people out there have asked, what's happened to Conspiracy Theory, my TV show?
Yeah,
well, we did 8 more episodes. They will be going on now a year later. The first show will air November the 7th at 10 Eastern, 9 Central on True TV.
Be looking forward to that.
So it is going to see the light of day now. I didn't think the third season would, but I found out it's going to. And let me add this. We did an eighth show exposing the TSA and Homeland Security at the airports. They are not going to air that one.
No kidding.
No. And I can only assume it's because of what we learned and what we got into on TSA and Homeland Security at the airports.
That figures.
Because they got some stuff in store for you that's going to come up in the near future. They're going to be, I'll tell it to you since it ain't going to get
sure.
out of the air. Let's get it out there.
Talk away.
They're going to have these wristbands that they're going to make everybody wear. And it'll have all your vitals on it so that it'll identify you and all this stuff if you're going to travel in an airport. Here's what they're not telling you, though. This wristband will act almost like a taser. They can also disable you with it.
Unbelievable.
Where they can, like a taser, they can, if you cause
sure.
a problem, they can drop you in your tracks. And that's the part they're not going to talk to you about when they come forward. And everyone's going to say, oh, these wristbands are wonderful. Now I don't have to go through the X-ray machine. Now I don't have to do this and I don't have to do that. Oh, please keep me safe. I don't care about my liberty. And let's remember what the great Benjamin Franklin said years ago. He said, for those that will give up their liberty for security shall have and deserve neither.
Yeah.
Because liberty is security. The only way government can make you safe is to take away your freedoms and lock you up.
Gee, Jesse, how come they're not proposing to have stun bracelets for politicians that renege on their campaign promises?
Well, the same way as if we lie to them, we go to jail, and when they lie to us, nothing happens.
Yeah. That is absolutely disgusting. We got another question here from Seth. He's wondering how many senators, if you have any idea, and representatives out of, you know, the 535 elected officials in Congress, do you feel actually represent the people and you know, share your same viewpoints? Do you know of any?
I don't think, other than Ron Paul, I'd be hard-pressed to know who any of them are.
Sure.
Who would actually be doing that? They're all controlled by the two gangs.
Yeah.
You know,
I
and they're
sure.
controlled by the money. They're just like street gangs. Their loyalty, first and foremost, is to the gang or the party. Their second loyalty is to the money people, the people that finance them, the people that keep them in office.
Yeah.
Did you know that on re-election time to Congress, that incumbents are elected like 95% of the time?
Wow, yeah.
Because they create districts that have no competition. They get together, the Dems and Repubs, and they create voting districts where they know, well, this area is Republican, this area is Democrat. And that way incumbents never lose. The ability to get reelected to Congress is you have about over a 90% reelection rate.
Man, the corruption is just it's out of control.
It's horrible.
Yeah,
horrible.
I think
that's
we have time
for Democrats and Republicans exposes.
Yeah, there you
and
go.
And give kudos to my co-writer, Dick Russell.
Do you have a website for it? Obviously, people can go to, you know, Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com to get it. But do you actually have a website for the book? Or?
Not directly for the book. No, I don't. I've got my own website. It's weaintgottimetobleed.com. All one
excellent.
Word. That's
Jesse
Ventura's
like
official.
It.
And let me state this. What do they call that other stuff people do all the time now? Twitter or whatever it is?
Twittering, yeah.
I don't
tweeting.
Do that at all. So anybody that claims that I've done that, it's false. It's fraudulent. I don't do anything on the computer. My son even runs my website. I don't even do that. Did you know I've never owned a cell phone, nor will I ever?
No kidding. I don't blame you.
I don't want one. Anything I do can be done on a hard line. I don't need a cell phone bothering me.
Hey, just another way for not only the government, but anybody else to spy on you, know when you're not going to be home and come and rob you or something. It's
well,
crazy.
Not just that. When you walk around with those things, they can locate you.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
You know, when you walk around with a cell phone, that people out there can know exactly where you're at.
It's a scary world.
I choose not to do that. In fact, when I bought my pickup truck, it had one of those what do they call them things? GM puts them on there. Forget the name of it now. I disconnected it immediately.
Yeah.
OnStar?
Oh, OnStar, sure.
Yeah. I disconnected that and disabled it immediately.
They know where you are, and they can watch you inside your car.
Absolutely. If you've got OnStar on your vehicle, they can track you wherever you go.
That's scary. I'll tell you what, we got time for one more question, and then we're going to have to close here. We got Chirper from the chat room, Hamilton, Canada. She asks, Jesse, would you ever consider running for governor again or running for Congress?
Well, I won't run for I don't think I'd run for governor again because been there, done that.
Yeah.
Certainly, if I'd have wanted to stay, I could have been reelected. My approval ratings were the highest in Minnesota history. At one point, I was at 73%, which is pretty good for a politician, or as I call myself, a statesman. I'm not a politician. And here's the difference. A politician makes it his career. A statesman serves and then goes back to what he or she used to do. That's the difference. So I'm a statesman. The only job I would ever go after, I don't like the legislative branch. I've never been in it. I've been a mayor. I've been a governor. I prefer the executive branch of government. So really the only thing left for me would be president or vice president. That would be the only thing I'd ever consider.
You'd get my vote.
Well, thank you, but I got to run first before I can get it.
Yeah. I guess we're not so pressed for time as I thought. We got a few more minutes. Did you want to hang on? Or?
Yeah, sure. I'll stay for a couple more.
Sure. We got a couple more questions that have come in. Let's see. We've got Ken in Florida. He asks, does Jesse believe they are monitoring everyday folks in America to help them? I think you've already covered that.
No, I don't believe they're monitoring to help you. I believe they're monitoring you to keep track of what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
We're under surveillance now, and they've got the technical ability to do it. In this modern era of technology that we live in today, they have the ability. I mean, they have satellites. Look at that thing where you can zero right in on your own backyard.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, from the satellites.
They got drones that look like
mosquitoes. They're monitoring us. Rest assured, it's not for good purposes.
Have you seen those drones that look like mosquitoes? You can't even tell you're being watched. They're flying right by you. You think they're bugs, and they're actual drones with cameras.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen videos.
You know, and it violates the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
But again, these Democrats and Republicans, they could care less about those documents. They violate them all the time. To me, until you elect a Ron Paul or a Jesse Ventura, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights will be null and void until that happens, because these two parties could give a damn less about the Constitution or the Bill of Rights.
What did Bush call it? Just a G-damn piece of paper.
Whatever. But they don't care about them. They make up their own rules as they go along. I mean, I sued Homeland Security and the TSA under my Fourth Amendment.
Yeah, that's
right,
one of the questions.
Because I have metal in my body.
Yeah, can you
and
tell
the,
us
you
about
know what
that?
The federal judge ruled? She threw it out of court and said she didn't have jurisdiction. Now, how can a federal judge not have jurisdiction over a constitutional question?
So that was it. Case closed.
Case closed. That's what they do with every lawsuit, and people need to understand this clearly. When you go to any airport in the United States of America, you are not, you, number one, you can't know the rules because the rules fall under national security. That came out in the hearing in front of the judge, and she even admitted it. That we don't even know the rules, because she asked me to cite a time I had been abused, and my attorney stepped in and said he can't do that because we're not allowed to know what the rules are. So you can't know if you're even being abused out there, but if you are, there's nowhere you can go, because every case brought against Homeland Security or the TSA, the courts throw it out, every one of them. So therefore, you are not protected by the Constitution or Bill of Rights when you go to a United States airport, and people need to understand that clearly. You have no protection, and there's nowhere that you can go to seek redress.
They can frisk you or make your grandmother take her diaper off.
Anything.
You can't say it.
They can do anything they want to you out there,
and they
there's
do.
No way that you can defend yourself.
Yeah.
I tried. It cost me $20,000. Because we prepared to go to trial, in front of a jury to see if my Fourth Amendment was being violated. The key word was reasonable. It's not reasonable to believe Jesse Ventura's a threat. I'm an honorably discharged Navy veteran. I've been a mayor. I've been a governor. I've been flying for 30 years. And they won't let you get in front of a jury because I'd win. And if I won, it would open up a bag of worms for them then.
So, and like you said, if it's not a federal judge's jurisdiction, then whose jurisdiction is it? Where was the redress of grievances?
That's the point. There is no jurisdiction on it.
Unbelievable.
It's above the Constitution and the Bill of Rights at the airport.
We're not in a free country anymore, ladies and gentlemen. We got time for one question. Joe in Arkansas asks, Jesse, if you are elected president, I think I can already know what you're going to say to this. Would you continue putting together the North American Union began under Bush
No, I would not, and you'd never, and I guarantee you'd never see that pipeline running through the United States from Canada.
There you go. Yeah, that's another fiasco.
People need to understand, all of that oil is going to get sold to China. We're not going to get one drop of it. It's being done so oil companies get a nice, British Columbia won't let them go through British Columbia. In Canada, that's why they've chose to go south with this thing, and they tell you they're going to create jobs. Well, the jobs are only going to be temporary because when the thing's done, all the oil is going to be put on ships and sent to China.
Yeah, unbelievable. The selling out, the treason is what it is.
It is.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess we've run out of time. I want to thank you, Jesse, for coming on. You're doing good work, and I'm looking forward to your conspiracy theory show coming back on in a couple months.
Thank you again. Let me reiterate, the first show will be November 7th at 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 Central on True TV. We did 7 of them, and boy, they're bizarre this year. They're going to be entertaining as hell.
Oh, I can't wait. Great
stuff. You know who's on board with me now? I got new investigators. Number one, my son works with me, and then another important cog to the machine now is Sean Stone, who's the son of Oliver Stone.
Oh, no kidding. Excellent.
Yeah, boy, that's a bad recipe, putting Stones together with Venturas.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be great. Keep it up.
That'll give him a few headaches.
Yeah, doing some great work. Thanks again, Jesse.
Thank you for having me. And again, I tell people in the United States, wake up before it's too late.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Okay, folks. You bet. Take care. That's it for this week. Join us next week. Another very important set of guests. We're going to be having the parents of Rachel Corrie joining us. Rachel Corrie, of course, was murdered back in 2003 protesting the Israeli abuses of the Palestinians. She was run over by a bulldozer deliberately. And her parents, took the perpetrators to court. And naturally, they threw the whole thing out, exonerated the Israeli, driver of the bulldozer. It was just one big rotten fiasco. They got one hell of a raw deal. And so they're going to be coming on to tell us about that next week. So you don't want to miss that. So have a great week, folks, and we'll catch you then. Take care.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office as summer people, and they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.